Well, we can try. Okay, so what year were you, you born in?
I was born in 34.
34.
1/11/34.
So it was cold out.
I can't tell you, I wasn't there.
No?
I mean, I came out of a warm place and
it slapped your bum
and I don't know what, I don't need it.
So
I will best to say it in first 4 months or so, I don't have no clue.
Were you born in Graceville or?
No, I was born in Cullom, North Dakota.
Was it Cullom? Okay.
Cullom, North Dakota, yes.
What brought you down to Graceville area?
Depression.
The depression?
They lost everything that was during the 30s.
Mm.
They lost everything and they had to get out of there to come down to Graceville and try to farm in Graceville.
And that was still very difficult?
Well, I can remember a few things because I was only 4 years old.
Yeah.
I do remember crossing the James River,
mm-hmm.
which I thought I was going to die.
I believe it.
Because I did not know what that was.
Yeah.
And my mother was driving a Model A Ford. And I don't even know. I know my sister was born in North Dakota. I think that she was in the back seat with me, and I think the dog was in the back seat with me.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's all I can remember about the trip.
Yep.
I mean, I do remember some sandstorms in my 4 year, but because the sandstorms were in North Dakota, so I had to remember in North Dakota.
Yeah.
Because I don't remember any in Minnesota.
Okay.
So, I mean, that was, you had sand piles as high as those trees, I think.
Hmm.
I mean, that was just like a blizzard.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as far as what I remember there, and that's about it. I mean,
definitely.
From 4 years on back, I mean, it gets a little more. That is the only thing that I can really remember from four, but I think it was a dramatic deal that made me remember it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, I got scared, and I mean, I was, when you sit in the house once, you don't.
Yep.
I get scared in this house all the time, but I mean.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, that's not neither here or there.
Yeah.
But I don't think that I was as scared when I was four as I am now.
Yeah. Just the times.
It's just the situation, and you know it's going to go the other way. You know you're going to. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
But the Lord will help me through it.
Yeah.
See, now it's the next question.
Farming when you're older and able to do those types of things around the farm. Do you remember, you know, like feeding chickens and doing chores and?
Oh, I mean, I fed chickens and ate them.
Yep.
That's true.
Yep.
So me and then.
But it's part of life. You got to feed yourself, yep. Though, too.
And I can also remember, and this is actually kind of a statement that I kind of regret to even make, but it was there. We had chickens, and then all of a sudden we had rats.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean rats. You walked in there at midnight or at night and you looked in there and nothing but rats. Couldn't hardly find the chicken. But they never ate no rat, no chickens.
Hmm.
So, but boy, when we had to clean that out, he knows a lot. He knows some of that. That must have been, we, Ma had a dog. Of course, I'm really spending a big stretch here.
No, you're okay.
That dog killed rats and killed rats.
Was it Toby or?
Toby.
Bullet.
Bullet?
Bullet, yeah.
Gold colored dog or brown.
And they killed rats. And you know, when we got done, I think it was a bucket and a half of a bobcat bucket full of rats.
Yeah.
And I mean, that was just unbelievable. The dog passed out. We had to take him to the, I don't think we took him to the vet.
We
but
just gave some cold water over him.
Yeah.
Just because he was just working so hard.
He was working so hard. And I think what made him pass out was that the rats bit him.
Yeah.
Because he was bleeding from the nose.
Yeah.
So he was bitten. So, I mean, those things are, you kind of forget them until now when we're talking about
it. Yeah.
If I was going to just, would have been just talking and you'd be, I mean, that's just something that entered my mind because it was.
Yeah, the rats ran right.
We kind of closed the doors and we had shovels and shovels and shovels and we just keep on hitting.
The rats ran right through the place. She had boots on and everything.
So then we finally got an exterminator in. But boy, he worked there for months. And he still didn't have them all.
Oh, yeah. Running through the fields and everywhere else. And.
But, I mean, I think eventually we got rid of the chickens.
Yep.
And that eventually took the rats, too.
Yep.
Because they got to have something to eat. You know?
Got rid of their free meal ticket.
Yeah. So, I mean, and that's the way it was with the rats.
Yeah.
But outside of that, then we have mink problems.
Gophers.
We used to go out to the north pasture and shoot gophers. Those orange gophers, flicker tails, whatever you call them.
Yeah.
I never could hit any, but.
Your mom got a mink, didn't she?
Yeah, she got a mink.
She was hanging out to us. I think we have a picture of that somewhere here.
Yeah, I that's why I say those. There's so many pictures out there in that apartment that I wish that they could bring down, even if we'd throw them here, because somewhere there was pictures that could be thrown.
What about when you, like, really early days of farming with your dog? What kind of equipment did you have?
Well, we had very small equipment. I did do some mowing hay and raking hay with horses. That I did do with.
Yeah.
But that's basically all that I did with my mother. She drilled with horses, and I can also remember sitting on the drill. And I must have been, I imagine 5-6 years old. And I can also see my mother lifting 100-pound sacks of wheat, which, shucks, I don't know if I ever could lift 100 pounds, but I kind of think I did. But gee, that was a slow process, and the biggest tractor we had was, we started out with a beef armo, but you know, that was smaller than most garden tractors now, you know.
Yeah.
And then we got an H International. But then we got a lot of work with that. We had a small equipment, but, you know, we had an 8-foot digger on it. That was a good digger. And I imagine I could get about 25 acres a day with that.
Yeah.
See, and anything that we, and I, this even includes him, if we would do today what we did, even with Gary, we would have been arrested. Because you don't put an 8-year-old out on a tractor.
Oh, yeah. the labor rules and all that other stuff, yeah.
So, I mean, that would have been for sure. And he did some stuff that was very dangerous. And run down the ditch with a 12-foot ditch alongside, and I mean 12 feet.
Yeah.
And luckily that he had the one side of the dual on that prevented him from rolling over.
Yeah.
And we were thankful too. But he was kind of a stubborn little, what you call it.
He's still stubborn.
I think he came back, and I don't think that he ever told me until I found out about it. Because I went drove out the yard, and what happened here? Why that track? Why that manure spreader track? Why that all that stuff? And then he started crying. Well, I just wanted answers. I don't know. I might have scolded him a little bit.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's the way it went.
Sometimes you got to do things that...
See, and when my days of farming came in 65,
yeah,
I was kind of fiddling with my dad, which kind of messed my farming days up a little bit. But my dad said if I help him until he retires, then I can take over the farm. Well, that's the way it went.
Yeah.
But it was tough. I mean, we didn't have very good machinery. It was old machinery.
Yeah.
And the problem is with farming, and that's today the same thing. If you don't keep your machinery up, one of these days you get to the place and say, I don't have no machinery. Now I gotta buy everything that I got.
Yeah.
Because the machinery is all wore out.
You got
it. And it's just of no value. And that's what I had to do. But my most easiest time was when I retired.
Yeah.
And I went to work for Gilstar's. Boy, now that was actually fun. To get on a quad track and run that, and you could get 2 quarters a day, 60-foot diggers, 50-foot diggers.
Yeah.
I mean, that was actually fun. I mean, it's, until fall come and it starts freezing, and then the mud started freezing into those tracks.
Yeah.
Then that started to the other side of the fence. But luckily, they didn't make me clean them out.
That's where it pays off to be a little bit older, huh?
Yeah, I mean, but I worked until sometimes 10 at night. So that, I mean, that's the way it was.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what else, unless you go into the disaster time of my life, but I don't know if Gary would appreciate that. So.
No, we can skip that, you know, let's, I remember my dad talking about, you guys used to have, what, heifers?
Yeah.
What was it, 20 head, or?
Well, we had high as 100.
100?
Even 100. I one time had 300.
And what made you want to get out of the heifers and steers and?
Really, I was never really the like I wanted to get out. I wanted to hire somebody that would do the work for me and I watch them.
Yeah.
But see, that didn't work either, because if you get up to 300 head, and see, that comes from learning. 300 head, one hired man is not going to work.
No, you can be running him ragged.
I mean, that just doesn't, and yet I would have to say that the one and I was the manager, it takes just as much work. It's different type of work.
Yeah.
To manage 300 head of cattle than it does to do the actual work.
Yeah.
So I mean, I had a lot of things, and my brother came to help work, but that was a disaster. I had a lot of disasters in my life. So he was one. No, he was not. But he did a lot of things that I don't, you maybe all know that. He went out bailing. And pretty soon he came in, and he had stepped, he couldn't get the teeth from the pickup down, so he jumped on it, and the tooth came up through the shoe and then up right through the foot all the way through.
Mm.
But we didn't know it came all the way through.
Yeah.
And when it was only about a couple hours afterwards, he came in and he said, I can't handle it anymore. Well, there was no way around it, but we had to take him to the hospital.
Yeah.
Because he had red streaks going up and down his feet. And I also can remember so that shows the age that he was.
Yeah.
Where he wouldn't even eat his breakfast at the hospital until I got there. So that means he must have only been maybe 7, 8 years old. Now, what is he doing out there running a baler?
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I say it. He did a lot of work that should have never been. But see, I know that now, but back in those days, it was different.
It is.
I mean, it's so different. The world is so different.
Yeah.
But he come out of it. But I think he was 3 days in Knoxville.
Just trying to fight that infection.
Trying to fight that infection. Yeah, he was in bad, I shouldn't say in bad shape, but he was in a condition that
he could have won either way.
Don't mess. I mean, he could have got gangrene in that foot.
He could have lost.
And he could have even lost the foot.
Yep.
So, see, I know this now, but back in those days, I mean, I look, what's the matter?
Yep.
I mean, see, and that's the way farming went.
You just suck it up and keep on going.
Yep. So, but it really was kind of, I shouldn't say it's this way, but when I married Clarissa, things really started to turn for me. Because she was way better than a hired man.
Yeah.
She run the combine. She run the chisel plow. She run the drags systems. You name it. She was out there.
Yep.
And one time she complained to the chiropractor, and he said, no, he said, Clarissa, you got the easy job. Let him do the vacuuming. He said, the vacuuming is way harder than what you're doing. And you know, from that time on, she hardly ever said a word. But I also vacuumed every time when it was to vacuum. And I could see that vacuum was a job for her that was very difficult. Because you had to be on, you had to push that dumb thing, and that house was not just exactly a little peanut house.
Mm-hmm.
Even that out on the farm was actually a big house. So, no, we had a lot of fun in that house. That was back in the days when they lived in Wilmer. I don't think. They maybe didn't live in Wilmer. What, 75, where did you live?
What year?
In 1975, we weren't married yet, but.
Okay.
Sandy graduated.
Yeah, you graduated. Yeah, that's right. You graduated in 80. Okay, yeah. Anyhow, that's when things went pretty good. There was some money in, but I mean, they resolved them. And so, I mean, it was a challenge when she would run she'd run the combine, which I never dreamt. I thought that she'd be a big flunk on the combine.
Mm-hmm.
By golly, she ran that just as good as I did.
Her plowing?
I remember her plowing. There was a few things that I should have helped her along because, I mean, well, there's sometimes a flat tire went and I figured fix it.
She did good?
No, she did a nice job.
Good.
The only thing that I wish that I could have done, I wish I'd had the money to compensate a little bit more than that. But if there is nothing, there is nothing. I mean, and that's the way it was. And,
Mother Nature was the boss.
Well, it was. I mean, there was times when it rained on that side of the highway and on this side it didn't.
Yep.
And it was always on my side, it didn't rain.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's a good thing now that I know that they're millionaires. Well, that's what I heard.
We just didn't want to tell
that's them. Why they pushed me down here. They said that there's nobody in Graceville that could take care of me.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, well, I understand Gary's got millions.
You know, still waiting for that.
You know,
too,
I tried to work on the first million, and I worked and I worked and I worked. And then I decided just to go to the second million.
Maybe it'll be easier.
Get the first
one. Write that one off. Awesome.
So, I mean, now whatever you want, and now you got to ask a question, because I'm talking around the stupid stuff. I mean, I don't have
no.
I know. I mean, I'm jumping from 20 years to 30, 40 years in between, and it's. But I do know that we had when Clarissa and I first got married, Christmas and Thanksgiving, we had a lot of fun together.
Mm-hmm.
I think Marlene and Gary. They lived down at my mother's in a trailer house for a while, and then they lived in Wheaton for a while, and then they. Did you live in Wheaton when you worked for Dave?
Rinky. Yeah.
I kind of think that's what. And I kind of felt sorry for him because. It always sounded to me like he had to haul the rocks, and the rest of them did just sitting around.
Pretty much.
I mean, that's the impression that I got. I mean, I just was just, and then I thought, what can I do? But I could, there was nothing to do. And I remember when they first, he was thinking about farming, but at that particular time, that would have never worked because there was just not the financing there that you could have had two families. See it. And then I got accused of everything under the sun. So from relatives that knew better than I did. So I just had to go. By the way, that what accused me is his mom's. He accused me that I should have took George and his wife in for farming. Little does he know that I did take him in. But the banker said, no way. And that's when you get a person. And he gets a note from the bank. Says his note is due this coming week. And he throws it in the garbage and says, so what? And then 10 months or so afterwards, and then they expect me to resolve this. It was not my own.
Yeah.
And then I was supposed to take him in, and so I mean I felt bad too when George got killed, but I will have to say I never felt like I do now. But the problem was there, I was so far away from him, you know.
Yeah.
And we couldn't even see him. I mean, he was so badly mangled, you know. So outside of that, I mean, my dad was another hard thing to follow. I mean, he was not in the nursing home, in a hospital, I think, for at least 6 weeks. Yeah, he had cancer,
mm-hmm.
colon cancer and prostate cancer, and then it turned liver cancer. And
just sort of spreading.
It just spread all through his
body,
and then they had surgery, and when you look back and you are brought up with such a narrow line of thinking.
Yeah.
How old was your dad? How old was your dad?
65.
What? Yep.
65. I'm 65. So I mean, see, now what would you do? Do you operate on his kidneys? Do you take half a kidney out? So you gain 2 weeks? Or do you leave the, or do you?
Leave him alone.
Leave him alone. See, that's the same thing that's coming with me. That very same thing. Should I go with this treatment? I can still go with this treatment. I can go. If I want to, if I do, would demand it. I don't think that the doctors would do it. But they said that I could, but I don't know. See, now, are you going to demand that you get this like he did? But see, those doctors are pretty much on right on the ball, because he died about 2-3 weeks after they said he would. And there was no evidence of any recovery whatsoever. I mean,
it was so involved.
Yeah, it was so far in the
system.
The liver was shot. The kidney was shot. I mean, you name it, and all they did. Now I don't know whether they kept him alive through, you know, whatever you call that, when they try to sustain him. Because I don't think that was quite that popular back in those years. So, well, anyhow, he passed away. And we even got pictures of him in the casket, and by golly, you know, he really didn't look all that bad, but boy, was he white and thin. Boy, just, some said that was gruesome. You should never do that, put a dead person in a casket and get a picture of him. So I don't know. Whatever you guys want to do, what I would like you to do is take a picture of me and make it about this big, and the laying in the casket. Take it up to Graceville and hang it in the senior citizens' room.
Open your eyes. I'll hold them open while we take it.
Well, I'll tell you, it's, you know, to me that was just a dumb statement to just draw a little laughter, but
it worked.
Because there would be no way that, But see, I always said, and this is another thing I want done. I want to have remote control on my casket.
You're gonna be able to set up and everything?
No, I don't wanna set up. I wanna just lay there. The undertaker, he already said that he'll do it. If he can do one other thing, I'll say the other thing afterward.
Okay.
I said, I want to have the, when people come by, and so, oh, you know how nice he looks. And then I want somebody to push a button and they'll, what's the matter with you? I said that in front of our pastor, and he said, are you sure you want that? I think he really thought of that, I was going to do it.
Oh, knowing you, you probably would.
Well, I can say that, but I really don't think that I would do it. And then anyhow, the pastor, the undertaker, he said to me, I'll do all that stuff, but you gotta let me do one thing. And I said, well, what do you want to do? He said, I want a second remote that when people come by and they start talking, and then he can push it, and I would say, what are you doing here? I never did like you.
There you go.
See, that's what the undertaker wanted to do.
Good point. You do that to, what's his name? Tom Gilsford.
Well, the problem is I don't have no control over someone else's, you know. You know, there's a lot of things that I wanted to do with Carissa, but see, there again, I didn't want to overstep my line there either.
Yeah.
Because Clarissa didn't, she had her problems with just about anybody that was in the family. I mean, it's, some didn't like her, some liked her. I mean, I don't know. I always kind of sat back and just let things by. So. But I told her that I was going to do that one, and she said, you better not.
But you have a heart attack.
Yeah, well, see, that's where the problem comes in. I mean, this is what our pastor says and other people. That's a very dangerous and critical thing to do. Because you don't know how that person at that time feels, and you could cause a heart attack. And then look what you have done.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean...